Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I've said this to you guys before, roster building is a 12-month process. And you can't sit here and rest on your laurels, oh, you went to the Super Bowl, so obviously you're going to go back again.
Your decisions are made above your shoulders rather than in your heart.
Exactly. And so... Listen, at the end of the day, we're going to do the evaluation. We're going to see what we feel we need, and we're going to do everything we can to get better.
All right, welcome to the C3 post-game show, Panthers at Saints. Panthers break a 7-game losing streak, and in many ways, I think, lost potentially in the draft and next season by winning this game. It's the final post-game of the season. It's been a long and strange season. Not long enough because we didn't make the playoffs, but it's finally come to an end. Cody, this is the last one, my friend.
The last one, brother, and yet somehow the Panthers managed to win when we need them to lose the most, but it's okay. We have a few players on the team that might have played their last snap of Carolina Panther football, so at least they got to go out with a victory against a division rival. Not all that clears is gold, Tony Dunn, but I'm ready when you are, man. Let's do it.
Well, I'm glad the Saints didn't get to pull the broom out, right? That's what I am happy about that. At least we didn't have to see that.
Right.
But the Panthers do drop in the draft order substantially, right? And we could have climbed the draft order in a better way. So, all right, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about this game. We're going to talk about the latest news and surrounding the team's future and some things like that. You can be a part of the show by participating in the chat room. Thank you to all the people that are over there already on YouTube. You can call into the show using the cat calls line. The number's 252-228-5098. And be sure to smash that thumbs up button, subscribe, and share the show wherever you talk Panthers on the internet. Thanks for listening on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio. And if you want to support the show in the offseason, we'll be here each and every Tuesday night at 9 p.m. And we're going to be looking at the draft. We're going to be looking at this team. And we're going to keep figuring it all out and working it all out. All right, Cody, this is what I got from this game right here. I learned absolutely zilch. Nothing new. I can hear your TV slightly, by the way. But I hear nothing new. I've learned nothing new about this team, the coaching staff, and even the fan base. Right now, the coaching staff did exactly what they've done all season, and that is Norv Turner called a nice game. The defense continued to show zero pressure from the defensive ends. The head coaching staff gave a healthy scratch to Obada and played veterans like Captain Munnerlin and Mike Adams way too long. We continue to see Christian McCaffrey dazzle. Curtis Samuel continue to blossom. But there's nothing new that I learned about this team going forward. That's where I'm at, is like everything is the exact same as it was on Tuesday for me.
Yes and no. I do feel like I did learn one thing. I feel like Kyle Allen has earned the right to be our backup behind Cam Newton. You know, I honestly, and I put this out on Twitter, and I'm just going to be honest here. It's nothing against the man. I don't think Taylor Heinicke is an NFL caliber quarterback. I believe that Kyle Allen has a ton of potential. I think he's a good size. I think he has a better arm. You know, he made two passes today, one to DJ Moore right in the breadbasket, and then that long ball touchdown at the end to Curtis Samuel, which, let's be honest, his knee was down. That shouldn't have been a touchdown. His knee was down a little short of the goal line. But I don't think Taylor would have made those throws. I think that Kyle Allen has a lot of potential. I don't necessarily know if he's a starting caliber quarterback in the NFL, but I do think that Kyle Allen, he did what he needed to do today in order to cement himself a roster spot and, in my opinion, be the backup quarterback behind Cam Newton.
This is the least important discussion to me in the history of the world, is whether we have learned that Kyle Allen should be the backup over Taylor Heinicke. Now, I do get this, is that I think you're right, is that in one vein, and that is that Kyle Allen played well today, right? Is that he went out there and he played. That's what he did. He just was playing. He didn't, the nerves didn't get to him. The situation didn't get too big to him. So admirable job by Allen today. But would I say we haven't learned anything new? This is what I learned too, is that half of the internet is still the same exact person they were. Billy Marshall, who has got to be one of the most pessimistic people following the Carolina Panthers in the world. He's with Billy. There's two Billies and Marxist Panther. They're like the most miserable. You just got to wonder how miserable being a fan of football or the Carolina Panthers is for these guys at times. And he goes this. He put out a tweet that said, Kyle Allen showed that he is a respectable backup quarterback, a legit backup quarterback, and Taylor Heinicke does not deserve to be in the league at all. And I just think that this is like, look, first of all, we saw one quarter from Taylor Heinicke against Atlanta Falcons team that was playing very hard in that game. We saw Kyle Allen do well, but like this is not even an important discussion when it comes to the overall future of the Carolina Panthers. Where we really should be talking about is this, is, hey, you notice that the Carolina Panthers offensive line has gotten three quarterbacks injured this year?
100%. Listen, our offensive line is where quarterbacks go to die. Okay, it's like Thunderdome. It's I've been saying this for a long time. You know, and again, I'm going to try and not be the egotistical douche and be like, I told you so, but I told you so, and I've been telling everyone this offensive line, it's bad, man. It's not just a little bit bad. It's not kind of bad. It's really bad. Marcus Davenport goes completely unblocked and just absolutely annihilates Kyle Allen, which, by the way, that should have been a penalty, because he came down with the entirety of his body weight on top of Kyle Allen. You're not supposed to be able to do that. That shouldn't have been a flag. Should have been a roughing the passer. And, we were one quarterback away from seeing Christian McCaffrey under center taking snaps from Ryan Khalil. It's absolutely embarrassing.
I think we should have gone, if we got to that point right there, we should just go Wildcat. There is no point in even putting Christian McCaffrey out in that situation. Now, to Jetta Jor in the chat room, I completely disagree about your take with Cameron Artis Payne, that he shows that he's trash. Is that Cameron Artis Payne, what we did is we saw, again, nothing has changed. Nothing at all has changed. Cameron Artis Payne gets a few snaps out there early in the game and is productive. That's it. Simply, he has a touchdown. He has some first down conversions, third down conversions. He pushes the pile a couple of times when there was nothing there. And then what happens? Ron Rivera takes him out and puts in Cadet, because we got to learn so much about this guy. You have screwed Cameron Artis Payne. I believe that he truly has a workplace discrimination suit on his hands. Because you can't even do the man the solid of giving him an opportunity to audition for the offseason a little bit after you have done this to him for 4 years. So then you go to this is that, guys, is look at this, is that Cody, though, you're absolutely right about the offensive line. It's unsustainable at this point, and it's been unsustainable for a long time now. It's going to need a lot of help. You saw that with no Trey Turner, Moten by himself is just a regular guy when he's by himself. You're going to have to get a couple of at least two big additions to this line and quality depth guy going forward if you want to have any success this year.
Yeah, in my opinion, the Panthers absolutely need to do what the Indianapolis Colts did. So, you know, it's one thing to say, oh, well, they had a top four pick, and they went and got Quentin Nelson, who's, I mean, as advertised, he's an absolute beast at the guard position. But you also don't hear a lot about how they also got Braden Smith, the guard from Auburn, and put him at the other end. And now, you know, Andrew Luck is back to throwing 30-something touchdowns a year. I mean, listen, bottom line is if your quarterback is always having to make plays when there isn't a play to be made because there's no pocket to work with, I mean, I honestly hope that this was a testament and was a showcase to people what Cam Newton does behind this offensive line. He's David Copperfield back there, man. He is an absolute magician that he makes as many things work as he does. If we want to protect Cam Newton's shoulder and the rest of his career, it's absolutely time to bolster this offensive line. And frankly, it's been time.
Even if Cam Newton isn't necessarily a magician back there all the time, which he is, what we have to see is this, is give the guy some damn credit about his durability and the fact that he is not dead at this point, that it took this long for 100%. Him, you know, that he has survived so much. That's really where he makes this line look better, is that we would have been through 10 quarterbacks if it wasn't for him, right? Is that these guys are getting murdered out there. Now, Khalil's gone. You know, Larson, Van Roten, I don't know what role they should play in the long term there. And we really just don't know without another tackle. We're going to have to get a tackle. I don't care if you say it's a right tackle, a left tackle, and Moten can go to left. I don't care which one it is. Is we're going to need a quality guy that can actually – play on one of the ends, and we're going to need the switch if you make Moten work. Now, some other interesting, some good news, though, is, and I think we continue to see, like I said, I don't think we learned anything. Let's talk about this, Cody, is where we didn't learn anything from this staff, or we learned that they're the same, is F.A. Obada, healthy scratch in this game. Now, I understand Julius Peppers is approaching a milestone, could potentially move into the third spot for NFL sacks, and you owe him that opportunity. I think he got almost there today, but I don't think he did get it in the end. But why is Mario Addison out there playing so much? Why is Mario Addison out there so much? Why can we not see if F.A. Obada and then Marquise Haynes could be legitimate players and get him? Is not the number one critique for F.A. Obada is that he just lacks experience? Would this not be a good time to see how he does against the run and in pass rushing situations? To me, this was a puzzling move by the coaching staff and Ron Rivera.
Yeah, it was really puzzling. And then top it all off that every, you know, publication from ESPN to Fox to Bleacher Report, they're all saying that Ron Rivera and Marty Herney are coming back for another year. And, this is kind of what you're going to have to deal with. You're going to have to deal with these questionable calls and Ron Rivera honestly not being able to efficiently evaluate the talent that he has on the football team. He has no idea. I mean, why is it that in Cameron Artis Payne's fourth year in the NFL, he's only now making an attempt to find out what he has in Cameron Artis Payne, not giving players the time that they need to actually be out there and be evaluated properly? It's so maddening to me. I don't understand it for the life of me. I'm at the point now where it's like, you know, if we're ever going to have any chance of being a legitimate Super Bowl contender, it's going to fall in the hands of two men, and it's going to be Cam Newton and Luke Kuechly. It's going to be those guys. Are those guys going to be the superheroes that this organization needs to overcome a head coach that is serviceable at best and doesn't put his players in the best position, both time-wise and managing timeouts and field management and clock management and talent evaluation-wise? He doesn't put our players in the best position to be a consistent football team. So, I mean, I just hope everyone knows how important number one and number 59 is to the Carolina Panthers, because they've never been more important than right now.
I just really disappointed that we did not use this game and last week as well, even more as an evaluation tool, or at least I don't. Maybe they did and I didn't notice it. Maybe I'm missing something, but I think we continued. And one more thing to show you that we didn't learn everything. What we learned is everything is the exact same. Rondae Barber called Colin Jones the most athletic player on the Carolina Panthers. If not playing football well is true athleticism,
so stupid, man.
Then Colin Jones is ridiculous. I know Craig McCoy brought it up in the chat room, and I did lose it at that point. Is Colin Jones going to get an extension in the offseason? He'll be back. Right? And Ian Thomas is awesome. Ian Thomas is great. He's great. He's going to be a star.
Colin Jones, that boy fast as hell, man. That boy can run.
Yeah, he is. His catch-up speed. His pursuit is crazy.
Man, he's so good, man. I honestly don't know what we would do without Colin Jones, Tony. I really don't, man. That could you imagine the Panthers without Colin Jones? Whew! I don't even want to think about that day. Ah, that's crazy.
I tell you this, is he's like the guy that they call the gym rat. You know, I don't know what a gym rat, if that's what kind of cop of it that is, but like he does great in the sauna.
Yeah.
He makes everybody happy in the sauna.
Well, he's a real lunch pail guy. You know, he's bringing his own lunch to work. He stays in the gym. You know, all those tropes about the white football player, if we're being honest.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, exactly. But Ian Thomas, sensational. I think that that is, and this is the last point we're going to get to the cat calls, is that I think that Ian Thomas has been sensational, and I think it's exactly what you need in the draft to pick up a tight end in the fourth that turns out to be a starting caliber tight end. Yeah. Instead of having to expend a first-round pick to get a Greg Olsen, who then becomes Greg Olsen 2 years later, which happened. That's what the Bears did. They picked him in the first round, and then he goes on and has a good career. I think where you really win in the draft is this, is that you got to pick some of those. Look, tight end is a position that there's probably more tight ends than there are starting tight end positions of guys that can potentially play. And I don't think that you could – I think it's nice if you can hit that in the mid-rounds instead of having to expend so much draft capital like to get an O.J. Howard, who I think is amazing and I like a lot actually for the Bucs.
Yeah, I mean, your first and second-round pick should be a surefire done deal, you know, a la D.J. Moore, who's still getting better, still needs to do better on
the and at some route. And at a position, too, though, that is remarkably important.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what I think the first round.
And Dante Jackson as well. I think your first and second round, you know, again, not a lot of people like David Gettleman at this point, and I get it. But one of the reasons why I did enjoy the man was when you listen to his interviews, he kind of let you in on the process. And one of the things that he said is rounds 1 through 4, you're asking yourselves, why won't they be a good football player? And then rounds 5 through 7, you're asking, why will they be a good football player? So you're trying to make sure that you hit on the early rounds, 1 and 2, that's a surefire player. And then rounds 2 through 4, I mean, you want some steals that are ultimately going to be a starter on your football team. As of right now, in my opinion, the steals of this past draft for us were Dante Jackson, who I think you have still not seen the best out of yet, and Ian Thomas. I like him to be the heir apparent to Greg Olsen. Maybe add another one and have a real dynamic two tight end set offense. And yeah, I think we're ready to roll. But I do like Ian a lot.
All right. You can be a part of the show using the Cat Calls line. The number is 252-228-5098. You can even jump in the shindig. The link is in the show notes on YouTube. Let's get into these calls.
What's going on, guys? This is your boy, the Black Cat, Brandon Herbert.
And
I'm going to take it a little different route because I actually thought about this a lot. Yeah, everybody's in the game and everything. It really didn't tell us too much about our team and moving forward. But this is about Devin Kemper. I know everybody wants to be optimistic, but I'm going to throw something out there. I'm hoping he's going to be a great owner and everything, but I hope it's not going to be more of the same because a lot of people don't realize this and don't know or whatever, but like, yeah, same with John Fox when, you know, we could see it coming 3 years before he actually got fired. You know, you don't want to wait too late. Like, I hope this is not going to be one of those ownerships that waits too late and it puts our franchise and waste Cam's, you know, prime. He's only have probably like a few more years of his prime left. You know, and you don't want to wait too late and then have, you know, set the franchise back years. And I feel that that's what happened when, you know, we, you know, kept John Fox for those minor amount of years and everything like that. And that's not what I want. I know I talk a lot about Cam and everything, but let's not get it twisted. He is the Carolina Panthers. He is our franchise. And if you're going to keep on giving him and feeding him with not things that won't maximize his potential, which is a head coach that is better at time management, is better at talent evaluation, that won't hold people, you know, our best talent back to put around Cam Newton, then you're going to just waste away his prime. So, I mean, I know a lot of people don't want to think of that and everything, but I'm just hoping that by keeping Ron Rivera, if he decided to, it's not going to damage our franchise even further. But yeah, you know, I might, like I said, I just don't want Ron Rivera back. And it's not because I hate the guy. He's actually a pretty nice guy and everything like that. But he doesn't have what it takes to, like, I think the max of his potential was that 1 year when we went to the Super Bowl when everything fell our way. And I don't think that he has what it takes to get us over the hump. Well, anyway, guys, just let me know what you think. And y'all are doing a great job. And keep pounding.
So that's our longtime caller, listener, Brandon Herbert. And for the most part, I don't really have too much disagreements with it. But this is what I'll say about David Tepper. You're not going to know who David Tepper is at the end of this season. Granted, we're all going to have our opinions about him if he decides not to fire Ron Rivera and if he decides to keep Marty Herney. But you're really not going to know who David Tepper is for, I would say, you know, another 2 or 3 years. And you decide for yourself based on the actions that he takes about a Panthers training facility and how he handles renovations to Bank of America Stadium and, you know, what kind of changes in the organization he decides to implement. So you're really not going to know a whole lot about David Tepper. I would say for a while, you're only ever going to start to get a feel for him as these changes start to occur. But I'll go ahead and say it now. Sometimes the toughest pill to swallow is the one that you swallow first. And Tony, when you brought up the Ian Rappaport rumor, I think it was a week ago, my first response was, well, I don't know. It's too early. Let's kind of pump the brakes. Let's have a feel for what's going to end up happening. And let's see. But I'm seeing more and more and hearing more and more from people that claim to have sources close to David Tepper that changes will be made. So there might be some firings this season that might include Eric Washington. I don't know. But I think the tough pill that we need to swallow is that Ron Rivera is going to be our head coach in 2019. And until David Tepper comes out and proves us wrong, I think that's the cut and dry of it, Tony. Ron Rivera is going to be our head coach moving forward.
Well, you know, I mean, and we don't, I mean, there still is, like, what I've learned is that none of these guys really know, except for Ian Rappaport, usually him and whoever the other one is for ESPN, who's the same, they look the same.
Schefter.
Yeah. Is that, like, those are the guys that the NFL calls and says, here, put this out there. But, like, I mean, even if you look at the Jason Lockin four, who started the whole thing, you know, is that really all he said is what everybody already thought. And that is, hey, all this losing makes you wonder if Ron Rivera's safe. He just acted like somebody had told him something more than that. Now, it's not over yet. I mean, there could be some changes. We don't know how deep and systemic the changes are going to be. But I do think that, like we've also said on this show for several times, is that even if you stick with Ron Rivera through this offseason and Marty Herney through the draft, that does not signal that David Tepper has confidence in these people yet. It could really just ultimately be about what the next move is. And I do think that that's a legitimate question to ask. If you were to fire Ron Rivera, like so many people are calling for, and I'm not here trying to defend and say he should be the coach, but who is the next coach? And is that person someone that you are confident that is not going to just be a bridge till you figure it out? Or is that guy, are you confident that he is going to be a long-term potential fix for this? And I don't know any of the names out there right now that I feel remarkably excited about outside of a complete unknown in a Lincoln Riley. Like, that's just a wild card. It'd be so exciting because it's so new and it's different. It's fresh. And I like the guy because he has ties to ECU and stuff like that. But other than that, like, if you told me you were going to bring in Mike McCarthy and all of a sudden that this is going to fix everything, is I don't know if I feel that way.
No.
So it's that I do want to know, I want people to just caution this, is that firing Ron Rivera and Marty Herney is only one side of the coin. You better have the other side of the coin with a legitimate plan other than let's just be mad at somebody. Now, I do think that those moves at GM still legitimately could be made after the draft. I think that this is a fair way of doing it. It could be a really good way of doing it in some ways. And then I'd also point to this, is that that wouldn't be so bad entirely given Marty Herney's draft last year of DJ Moore, Dante Jackson, and Ian Thomas. That's a pretty damn good get your feet wet again.
Yeah, and listen, if he can hit on some lineman picks the same way he did those guys, I'm not mad at it. I mean, and honestly, to be honest, like, Tony, I think you and I kind of more talk about the GMs than I've seen other people talking about it. You know, just because I guess you and I have kind of felt like, well, if David Tepper's going to come in and start his official Panthers regime change, well, then why wouldn't you throw Marty Herney in that as well?
Right.
But I really don't feel like most people, you know, in the media and even amongst Panther fans really have a lot of ire towards Marty Herney per se. I think right now it's mainly just Ron Rivera that bears the brunt of Panther fans' ire. What I will say is this, though. I really don't think that he has been a problem since he's returned. Granted, he's only been back a year, but there have been reports that he's already trying to extend an offer to Eric Reed. So he wants him to be back, which I think that's a good move for us. That's one less position that you have to draft in safety. You can put him around at free safety or a strong safety.
Who, by the way, I think, again, we didn't learn anything new about Eric Reed, is he's a shoulder. He likes to blow people up with the shoulder, and he doesn't wrap up. And look, I hope he comes back. I hope he plays strong safety, and I hope we get a guy who's even better at free safety beside him that could really give us some freedom and some latitude. But, you know, he was in on that missed tackle, him and Colin Jones together, on that running back who crashed through 12 people to get into the end zone. But, yeah, you're right, is that I don't understand, Cody, just back to your point about the GMs, I don't understand why people think that changing the coach first is a wise decision. It seems to me that who would truly believe that Tepper thinks he knows enough about football, that his expertise is enough about football to make that? It's not like he's going to be owner GM, right? So, I mean, I think when you're a big guy like that, is like you just know this, is that I'm picking a guy who I have faith, who I think is super talented on this. And that's why I think the whole coaching thing is a non-starter until we see what happens with GM.
Yeah, I'm pretty much in lockstep with your opinion on that. I mean, I honestly still did want to see maybe if we could have gotten a Nick Caserio, which I know Hartman, the guy that you interviewed Hatman. On the show, Hatman. Hatman, apologies, doesn't think that they're ever going to pry him away from New England. And there's a few other people in Seattle as well. I like I said, I would have liked to have, and I know I've used this term before, just ripped off the Band-Aid. If we're going to do some new stuff here in Carolina, let's start the process now rather than hoping that it's going to fix itself. But again, and you hear a lot of people saying this, but David Tepper comes from an organization where they practice patience. I mean, the Steelers had three head coaches in like, what, 30-something years or something crazy like that. So I understand why David Tepper wants to maybe pump the brakes a little bit. But again, like you said, even though it leans as though we're going to have them both, right now it's uncertain. None of us have any idea what's going to happen going forward in the next few weeks in Panther football.
The change could already be determined, actually, in some ways, but it just might not be on the timeline that we want it to be. And that is, he could have be making this like, hey, this is the better way to do it. And we'll see if that's the case or if he gets stuck in that muck that Brandon Herbert is concerned about. But I think it's kind of hard to be a bad owner unless you're an embarrassment. And I already think he's already shown that he's more excited about being an owner to the team than Jerry Richardson was at that point. So I'm optimistic about the ownership of this team and the future direction. Hey, we're going to get younger quicker. Here's our next cat call. The number's 252-228-5098.
Hey, CP3 podcast. It's the world famous. Cavassier. Hey, man, I feel good, man. We're not going to the playoffs, but damn, man. 7-9, and we actually won a game. Feels like forever.
It does.
Forever, man. And I'm going to say this right now. Kyle Allen should be our daggone backup quarterback starting next year. Heineke, he did what he had to damn do, but did you guys see the way Kyle Allen was damn fucking playing?
He was playing
his daggone ass off, man. I mean, He looked pretty damn good, man. I'm not
going to
lie.
Audition, baby.
Offensive line did okay. I know he went out with that shoulder injury or whatever, man. But
the way until I they at got it, man, someone killed.
Kyle Allen played a hell of a game. He played pretty damn good.
They call the body.
To me, I know we're not going to the playoffs, but is it just me or where in the hell has this fire been for the last past six games, man? Like, for real, man. We're not going to the playoffs. Yeah. But we're 7-9, and at least I can go to bed tonight with a smile while I go to work in a couple of hours with a smile on my face that we're 7-9. And we beat them damn cocky-ass damn Saints fans. And I hope they do lose in the damn playoffs. I really do. tell me about Kyle Allen and Peppers getting that damn 150-something daggone sack. And always remember, man, keep telling it, baby.
Did he get the record when it was all said and done? I mean, did he move up?
No, I believe he is still a half a sack. A half a sack. Not even a full sack.
You know what is that? Why could I think this is? I was ready. You remember what Brett Favre did for Michael Strahan? And Brett Favre fell down on purpose and let Michael Strahan at the end of a game when it didn't matter get the sack to put him over. Why couldn't at this point Julius Peppers meant so much to the NFL? The guard just let him blow. I mean, the tackle just let him blow by at the end of the game and blast somebody and get that number. I think it was worth it. I think if you give him another, if the Panthers would have given him what he truly deserved, which is a true playoff run, he would have clearly had that. He moved up those spots. So that was a sad thing to me. But hey, let's do talk about this Kyle Allen, because maybe I am, I'm just a bah humbug on the whole thing. But he did go out there and play hard. And like you said, he was tossing it downfield. Again, what I think we didn't, what we learned about the team is that we just, what we already knew, and that is Curtis Samuel and DJ Moore are enough. Like, is that you put a third big, but you could get a guy in free agency who's just a bigger body to put out there with them, and it's going to work. DJ Moore immediately, once he catches the ball, turns north. Immediately. That's what I love about him. No lateral movement, not an inch, no diagonal, straight north-south after he gets the ball, and he's so good. And Curtis Samuel, man, he's trying to tell everybody he's a player. You see how disappointed he was when he couldn't come down with that touchdown? He caught the ball, but he was out of bounds.
Yeah, man, listen, and this is what I think. I mean, Curtis Samuel next year, God forbid, you know, that anything continues to be bad with Cam Newton's shoulder. But if Cam Newton comes back healthy, Curtis Samuel is your deep threat. I think Torrey Smith has been good in the locker room, but for a large part of the season, he's been pretty non-existent. Curtis Samuel is your guy. He's our new tight end. We just have to let him be that, you know. We need to establish this connection. I'm hoping between Cam Newton and Curtis Samuel down the field, you add in some help. And here's another thing, man. Traditionally, your number one wide receiver is an outside guy. So they're playing on, you know, nearer to the end zone. But, man, I don't know about you, but I think DJ Moore is devastating from the slot. I really think that a lot of – he can do a lot of damage from that position, especially because that yards after the catch he has, man. He's so dynamic with the ball in his hands. He's not really the type of receiver that's going to go out and make the crazy one-handed catch per se, but he is the type of guy that you – put the ball in space, give him the ball, and he's good for another 25 yards, you know? I really do think that there needs to be some consideration.
I think he can be a number one. I think he can be a number one.
And I want to clarify, I'm not saying that he can't be that, but what I'm saying is I do think that DJ Moore from the slot could be a very, very powerful weapon for us in how we continue to use him going forward.
I do agree that what I want to see is this, and I think we started to see a little bit of it in that Baltimore game, and that is I want to see a Panthers offense with a new forward progressive vision to where Christian McCaffrey, Curtis Samuel, and DJ Moore can be like these just three athletic superstars. And then when you need – a guy that's just whoever the Devin Funchess replacement is just somebody else that isn't going to make you worse. I think I can envision Curtis Samuel, DJ Moore. I think that DJ Moore is so aggressive up at the catch point too. I've been impressed. I think the sky is the limit for the kid. I think that if he wouldn't have had two fumbles in this season, we would have been talking about how he arguably is the best receiver out of this class. And I am not impressed by the argument that there are six other rookie wide receivers who have more touchdowns than DJ Moore. To me, that's a meaningless stat. Is that DJ Moore didn't even start, like Brother Herbert said, till like week 8.
Yeah, and it lacks all the context in the world. It doesn't tell you how those touchdowns occur. It doesn't tell you what personnel they were using. I mean, there's so much more that goes into it. And on top of that, listen, I mean, I'll say this a million times. When your number one quarterback isn't, even though Cam played so well this season, when your quarterback is limited in the type of throws that he's able to make, that's going to hurt wide receiver play. So, you know, it's not like it was necessarily even all his fault. Listen, I've said before, DJ Moore has some areas that he needs to grow in, and that's not unfair to say. It's his first year in the NFL. I do think, though, that he can be an integral part of our offense moving forward, even more so than he already is, and he's already proven that he can be an incredible asset for this team. So, yeah, I'm 100% in agreement with you. You know, give the reins to Christian McCaffrey, DJ Moore, and Curtis Samuel. Add in another big body receiver if Devin Funchess doesn't want to take the right deal. And then let's move on, man. Let's roll.
Devin Funchess is not welcome on this team no more, clearly. I mean, he was a scratch today. And I don't believe it was because he was hurt.
Yeah, and I think the coaches are done with him.
So here is that, and I'm okay with DJ Moore doing that damage from the slot, is that, you know, AJ Green has been phenomenal out of the slot position this year, or he was earlier in the season when we were going up against them. So that doesn't bother me one bit. I think we could just be so fast and so dynamic with these guys that where the reverses all of a sudden are just like, not even exciting anymore, because once you get these guys, just get them in space, both of them, get them going deep. I just think it's going to be great. The number is 252-228-5098. Be a part of the C3 post game show.
That game was pretty bittersweet. I was like, the first time I think I've ever rooted against the Panthers winning, because I know we have probably dropped about 6 spots today in the draft, but it is what it is, as John Fox used to say. I guess my thoughts on this game, I really like where DJ Moore was at. It looked like he had matured a lot in his route running and in catching, and was very confident with where he was playing the game today, so we got that to look forward to in the future. The defense was a little rough, so I mean, Colin Jones got an interception, though, so that was
best athlete. That was nice, I suppose. Best athlete.
I think one name that we don't really think about anymore that we are kind of missing is Coach Ricky Prohl. Like, Ricky Prohl, even though he didn't have like the best talent in his coaching group, he had those guys ready and playing better than their ability. And I know he took some time off to help his kid to get to college, but hopefully we can see if we can get him back within the next year or so and really help coach up DJ Moore and Curtis Samuel and have them be elite talents for us. That's just my thoughts. Keep on, guys. Look forward to 2019 season.
The Lance Taylor, currently our wide receiver coach. Isn't that his name, Lance Taylor?
Yeah, he was the coach at Stanford.
And he comes in, and, you know, he was a little bit ahead of McCaffrey, so that there was some clues there. But, you know, Prohl, he's got a great point here, is despite – because I don't want to throw shade on what Lance Taylor has done in this case, because we just don't know. But Ricky Prohl was the toast of the town when he was our wide receivers coach, and he did get a lot out of Devin Funchess. Lance Taylor had Devin Funchess playing all right last year too, though. But you're right; he got a bunch of nobodies to do a lot of good things. Imagine what he could do with some somebodies.
Kelvin right Benjamin now, had a 1,000-yard season with Ricky Prohl as the coach. So, yeah, maybe he's on to something.
Yeah. So, and this is that we're going to have to, and I think this was going to be an important discussion in the offseason on the C3 Panthers podcast, is that if Ron Rivera does stay throughout 2019 in that season, and there, and this going back to this Jason Lockenfora article that came out today, I think, or yesterday, about now Rivera is safe, but there's going to be changes. Well, of course there's going to be changes. I mean, like, but really it's going to be additions. That's what it's going to be. It's going to be an addition of a defensive coordinator. It's going to be an addition of some experienced positional coaches. In many ways, what I could see is this is that, and hopefully if we'll see if we have more of the same, if Ron Rivera just puts in one change and he picks in a yes man that he can put on defensive coordinator spot, then he hasn't learned anything. But if he goes out there and says, this is, I need a guy who's fresh, who's strong, who I can work with and get along with, and then let them pick their staff almost, and have some faith in that, I think that that will go a long way. But we got to hire a defensive coordinator, or Ron Rivera is going to have to come out and say, I'm going to do both. And then he's going to have to go and hire some real positional coaches or some additional
ones. Yeah. And, you know, I'm not mad at Ron Rivera calling the defense. I mean, there are many coaches in the NFL that call the offense from the head coaching position, and they let, you know, they designate other jobs to the offensive coordinator. I'm not mad if Ron Rivera chooses to do the same thing. I will give a little bit of credit to Ron Rivera and to even Eric Washington. And I think this is something that you and I have echoed throughout the course of the season. Our pass rush got old over the course of the offseason, and it just appeared to be a problem. So I honestly don't think that you can even give a fair evaluation to Eric Washington as the defensive coordinator when you basically had zero pass rush. I mean, you're giving quarterbacks and wide receivers the opportunity to just throw all over the field. And even in spite of that, Dante Jackson made some plays. Eric Reed made some plays later on. Mike Adams did some good work. And we know those linebackers, they're always running around doing their job. So, I mean, if you don't have a pass rush on defense, you're kind of handcuffed in what you're even able to do. So this might not be a very popular opinion, but I don't know that Eric Washington was the problem with our defense, and I'm not really upset if they say, listen, everyone had a bad year, but we're going to have another go at this with you as a defensive coordinator in 2019. Update that defensive line, get them some better pass rushers, and let's give them a more fair assessment next year.
I don't think that that's going to be the case. I do think that,
yeah, me
Eric, but I do understand what you're actually saying, though, or what you're saying with Eric Washington, is that I think that he could be a slightly scapegoatish, but he didn't make us better at the same time, is that our defense just completely underperformed while he was the defensive coordinator. And whether that is a lack of talent, whether that is not being able to get everybody on the same page, it just was a symphony of problems when it comes to the defensive side of the ball for so long. And then it got slightly better. That's what it did. It only got slightly better when Ron Rivera took over. But guys, it's so much a talent issue. When you know that, like, hey, is that Munnerlyn, Adams, Addison, these guys were just not producing at the level that is going to be that you need. And then, look, I mean, we just got old quick, fast, in a hurry. Joey called it in, like, week one, or it no, might it have even been week two.
It was the preseason that Joey called it. Joey hit the nail on the head. That might have been the best call that has ever made.
Yeah. I mean, and you're right, but you don't know. But what Eric Washington, if he's humble enough to just continue to stay with the team and be a D-line coach. But I think it depends on, too, who you bring in as coordinator. Wilkes could come back. That could be a solution there, is that You know, there's a lot of different things that can happen, but it's going to have to be magical in this next year if Ron Rivera wants to survive. If he does, in fact, survive. You're listening to the C3 Panthers post-game show. The number's 252-228-5098. Here's the next call.
Hey, guys, what's going on, man? Happy, I guess it's happy, happy Sunday post-game. I'm actually listening to the show right now, and I just had a few thoughts. I really wanted to kind of pick your brains on something. And my whole thought process today is around the safety position. What do you guys think about our safeties moving forward? Saw limited Golden today. He looked pretty good. Obviously, we know the deal with Eric Reed, hoping that he'll come back on a team-friendly deal. Mike Adams is pretty much done. Really old guy. A lot of love for him, though. I just feel like we need a true ball-hawking free safety coverage guy. Guy that gets picks. I don't feel like we have that or have had that on the roster in some time. Every safety that we've got involved in, and hopefully if we resign, I feel like the line of scrimmage guys, they play the run really well. They can come up and contain, but I don't, sometimes they're pretty decent with the tight ends. I don't feel like we have a guy that is just a true point for the hook. And I know Rivera's system doesn't kind of put a lot of emphasis on the safety position as it is, so I don't think it's something where we'll spend a round one or round two pick on a guy unless he's just awesome, like the best out there. So what are your thoughts? What do you think we need to do? Do you like the safeties on our roster if we keep Reed going forward? I just wanted to pick your brain. Thanks, guys.
All right, Cody, as I actually have some strong opinions about this, is I think that Eric Reed I don't want to hear nothing about I'm an Eric Reed hater or something like that, is that I think Eric Reed was a good addition to the team. I called for him. I was very excited about him. I think that we saw that he did a very important and an admirable job of getting into football shape, learning the defense and doing those things quickly. I think this, though, is that I think Eric Reed has played well, but I don't think he's played great. And so what my point in making this is only for one reason. It's not, I think it would be nice to sign Eric Reed. I think that it's understandable he wants market value, but depending on what he means by market value is not obviously a top strong safety in the league, but one of the mid tier potentially. But I think if you paired a really big, like a crazy, awesome, talented, free safety, like the caller is saying, with Eric Reed, that Eric Reed could be all of a sudden so much better. And that is where I truly think that going forward could be awesome, is look at what the guy for the Chicago Bears has done this year. That guy has been crazy awesome. So if you could put somebody who was even better than Reed beside him, you could like almost create the Legion of Boom back there. Quickly.
Yeah. So I'm of the opinion, and I think I'm probably in the minority about this, but I think that safeties are more important than cornerbacks, because when you have safeties that are cutting off entire parts of the field, it allows cornerbacks to play the football, meaning they can go for interceptions, like they can try and take the ball away. I mean, look at what Seattle had with Earl Thomas. I mean, he was in the position where Richard Sherman and I think Brandon Browner was his name, they could just go for the football whenever they needed to, because they had two safeties that would lay the boom on you, and they were quick to both sides of the field. And see, this is the dilemma that I come to, right? So I don't know where our draft order is right now. I don't know where we are. We're probably somewhere between 11 and 15, anywhere in that period. But the bell of the ball in this year's draft for free safety is a guy by the name of Deontay Thompson out of Alabama. And it would seem to me as of right now that we would be in range to pick up a guy like that. And essentially what he would do for us, or could do for us, is what Eddie Jackson does for Chicago, or what I forget his name right now, the guy from Kansas City. Who's always hurt as of late. I'm sure the Barry? Chat will. Yeah, Eric Berry. He's one of those kinds of players. So if you drafted someone like him and then, you know, moved Eric Reed, as you've been talking about, to the strong safety position, yeah, man, that's not a bad look at all. The problem there is you're spending a first-round draft pick at safety instead of where we all feel is incredibly important, and that's the offensive and defensive line. So, you know, now that the season's over, free agency is going to be a huge deal for us, you know, and how we decide to attack different positions. But for what the caller is asking about, I absolutely would like to upgrade the safety position. Mike Adams has played well, but the man's almost, what, 40 years old or something now. It's time to make an effort to get younger at just about every position that there is and, you know, be more dynamic than we have been the past few years.
All right, so Carlton asked this in the chat room. What about Galdon? And, you know, I've been excited about Galdon as a because we needed somebody on this at this position. But I don't think what my concern with Galdon is right now is can he be that complement that quickly to Eric Reed? What I think we need to do is pair Eric Reed with a player beside him who is even better than Eric Reed is. I think if Eric Reed is the best of the two safeties back there, we're always going to be slightly disappointed with that. But I'm with you, Cody, is that if you put a rangy guy back there who is a ball hawk, who can tackle, who's kind of a game player, who can even cover as well, is that I think all of a sudden you're going to make Dante Jackson, who you've got for 4 years without any problem, he could be just sensational. And then I think James Bradberry all of a sudden can settle into a better role as well. And that secondary could be all of a sudden the source of strength for this team. So I am concerned that Galdon might not be that guy right away. I'm not saying he can't be a very good player in the future or even next year, but I don't know if we could build it in the manner that I'm kind of envisioning. Now, my question to you, Cody, though, so you said all of this comes down to free agency, a lot of important things there that could happen. The good news about this is that free safeties play a lot longer in the NFL. Like they have a longer career length and they have to be cheaper than a defensive end. So if you did want to take a high dollar risk, and I don't know who the guy is necessarily, but maybe that is a more financially feasible way of adjusting the roster positively going forward than going and signing Clowney, who I saw someone say in the chat room, that would be exciting. Also, though, slightly concerned with the longevity of Clowney and health issues. He's never been 100%.
Yeah, he's never been 100%. I mean, listen, we can all dream. I feel every year there's a player that we want to go out and spend a ton of money on, and it kind of never ends up working out. So in my mind, you know, that's DeMarcus Lawrence.
It's that Dallas guy.
Yeah, it's DeMarcus Lawrence, man. But see, I don't know what the Cowboys cap space looks like, but I personally think they would be stupid to let that man go. But if he does, if for whatever reason, hit the market, I mean, he's everything that we want. He's a hand in the dirt defensive lineman, and I think he would be perfect for us. Some other names to throw out there is that Earl Thomas is going to be a free agent as of next year. And I don't know what his health is like. I don't know.
Well, he did. He like blasted that leg or that knee or something. Remember, he gave the FU, the bird.
Shot him the bird, let him know how he really felt. And also, he's a lifelong Dallas fan. So I think that was his preferred landing spot. But I think whoever pays you, that's where you want to play. So I don't know, man. I would love to bolster our backfield and have this type of backfield where instead of Bradberry having to worry about saving the play and making the tackle, he's actually in a position to go for the interception because he knows that he has a badass right behind him that's, you know, going to be right on the play with him. I mean, that's an important position. I think safeties are the most important position in your defensive backfield, even more so than corners. And, I think that we should have the best safeties and the linebackers in the NFL, and we would have the best defense that there is.
Yeah, you could do a lot more creative things with the defense if you didn't always have to count on the nickel corner being so important, you know? And right now, yeah, we don't have a solution to that. So if you could put two safeties out there and one can serve as a corner, kind of, one can get down in the box if necessary, or play some of those kind of in-between roles, I think it would be a great asset to have. I think it would be a way that you could quickly turn around the defense going forward. I don't know if you're going to be able to inject a ton of pass rush just instantly, even through free agent. I think you can improve it, but it's going to be really tough to get a guy that's going to come in as a rookie and just be a baller right away. It's possible, but I don't know if it's probable. And then if you are going to go into free agency, that's going to cost a ton of money for that position. You know, it's like going and getting a left tackle, which obviously we haven't had any success with. We haven't tried in the draft either. But at the same time, who knows? Well, a lot to follow. Numbers 252-228-5098.
Hey, guys. This is Jedi Joy. I just wanted to call in again and say a lot of people have been saying, oh, we need another receiver. We need a number one receiver, this, that. That's the one thing that I have to vehemently disagree on, because Cam Newton, if Cam Newton turns out to be the future quarterback next year, he does best when he doesn't have a number one and he doesn't try to force it to somebody. I think the guys that we have, if we can go on with Moore, Wright, and Samuel, then we're good. Maybe get another tight end if Greg Olsen doesn't come back. And one other point I wanted to make was, Tony, you had talked about, one of the things that Gettin brought was, his media savvy. The one thing that I miss about Gettleman is he was the one person in the organization that everybody feared. Like, if you didn't do your job, you wouldn't have a job. One of the knocks I can say on Ron Rivera is that he's almost too nice to his players. It's like, oh, if you don't do this, then it's all right. Get back at him next week, which is good. But you need that. You need the tough parent as well to be like, okay, you need to be on your P's and Q's. One of the things he told Cam Newton was having, kind of some rough seasons those first 2 years. He came in and said, hey, you're going to have to take over this offense, and if you don't, then you're not going to be our quarterback anymore. And then Cam Newton went and proceeded to have one of the best seasons of his career at that time, and then he was like, all right, you are our guy. So, I don't know. I don't know how we're going to get that if Ron decides to hire somebody else, but that was just my thought.
Yeah, I think that's a fantastic call. I agree a lot with that. First, I love Gettleman when he was here. I thought he was doing such a good job. And then, and kind of in retrospect, in hindsight, it's 2020, but just the draft didn't turn out. There's a lot of guys that I wish that just aren't on the team. So that's the hard part. You have some other things where, but he did have the two things I really liked about him, like you said, Cody, early, it was remarkably candid when it comes to the way he felt about the team. And, you know, I felt like everybody thought he was going to be this slimy New Yorker that was going to come in and do all these things. I feel like he just told you exactly what he was thinking and then did it. But at the same time, too, is, boy, there was a level of fear when it came to Dave Gettleman. Was like the iron fist back there. While right now, Ron Rivera is the cuddly players coach, it seems like at this point. And right now, also, Marty Herney missing in action. Marty Herney used to come on the radio a lot, talk about the team personnel things. And he was all out there when we were 6-2. He has disappeared since then. And I think if there is a big criticism about Marty Herney, it comes back to his kind of contracts, his wanting to hook his guys up that he has felt some loyalty to. So there's some questions there. Is he tough enough for the job in when it's necessary?
Yeah, you know, Ron Rivera has been known as a player's coach for a very long time now. Everyone loves him, and, you know, whenever well, no, I mean, really, I mean, for as long as he's been here, I mean, no one's ever had really anything, at least not that I know. Have you ever heard any player say anything but glowing things about Ron Rivera and what he's done with the locker room? In fact, you know, Jared Allen, who came and played for us in 2015, said that it was one of the best locker rooms that he had ever been a part of. And that's a part of the culture that the coach instills. So to Jedi Jory's point, you know, he was talking about a coach that will really get on your ass and will tell you what's demanded of you. So they just had the college football semifinals yesterday, and Alabama and Clemson, it'll be the fourth year in a row that they're going to play each other. But I was on Reddit, and I noticed that, you know, Dabo Swinney and Nick Saban, they do this thing where even if they're winning in a blowout, if one of their players makes a mistake, they lose their freaking mind. Like, you know, they go out of their mind like, you dumbass, you know what you had to do right there. And a lot of people on Reddit were like, you're up by 25, maybe calm down a little bit, boss. And then that's when it dawned on me, like, Clemson has a motto called the best is the standard. And, you know, when you have that kind of mindset, when you're the best at what you do, there's a reason Alabama and Clemson are always in the championship. It's because they have the best coaches and they implement the best culture with the best players, and they have a level of excellence that is required at all times. So I understand when Jedi Jor is kind of feeling as though there might not be that on the team right now with Ron Rivera. Maybe that means he's gone a little bit complacent in his time here. I don't know. All I know is that the players love him. But I do agree, though. I'm not upset at having a coach whose main priority and his main standard is do your job at all times of the football game, first, second, and third quarter. I don't know that Ron Rivera does that at all.
To the original point, or to the first point that he made, and that is about the call. Some people are saying that saw Joe Person write this, is that the Panthers could benefit from adding another wide receiver. I kind of feel like I'm with him in that I don't think we need to prioritize that. But at the same time, also adding a really dynamic receiver. Think about this. Michael Thomas drafted in the second round with the 47th pick. Is that you add a player like that alongside of those to that mix, it could help more than we know or we can envision. So I don't want to just completely rid myself of the possibility of it being a good thing. But I right now don't think it's the most important priority. But boy, we're getting really close. If you can protect Cam, if you were finding a way to mend that offensive line, think about this. If you could mend that offensive line and add one receiver, I can't think of a weakness on that. I mean, it could be just crazy good, but it's all going back to the line.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we're all on lockstep in that. Build up the offensive and defensive line. And I kind of think that the places that we have in position are kind of there. It doesn't sound like a glowing endorsement, but they're good enough to do the job, you know. Depending on how much money Shaq Thompson's going to want in free agency, and you know, Daryl Williams, there's some big question marks on the team right now. But if we can, you know, upgrade the roster and keep it for the most part the same with some team friendly deals, there's no reason why we shouldn't be right back in this next year.
The good news is we can get young. If being old is our problem, we're going to be forced to get young quick. And that is, there's going to be a lot of guys that are gone. And it even appears that Funchess is obviously a part of this group now. He's one of the younger of that group. But Mike Adams, Munnerlin, Peppers, Khalil, there is an opportunity for us to be by force to get young quick. I do think this is that, man, if you could add one tackle that worked and then you could find a guy that could become a Michael Thomas, is that imagine those three wide receivers in 2 years from now together. Now, I think we're going to have to do a whole show this offseason about Shaq Thompson, because I believe we've already picked up his fifth-year option. We'll have to do some research into seeing if we can get out of that still. I think we are able to, if I remember how it went with Benjamin. But that he's going to cost $9 million next year, and he's on IR right now with a shoulder. He has been lobbying hard to be with the Carolina Panthers in the long term. He has been very active on social media, very positive, very fan-friendly. I think these are all subtle things pointing to, hey, I know that the money is about to come or could come, but $9 million is a lot right now. And I don't know if we've seen, you know, so there's going to be a big question mark there going forward. You're listening to the C3 Panthers podcast. We got one more call to get through right now. The number's 252-228-5098. Let's see what they got.
Hi, what's up, C3, the post edition. What's going on, guys? This is Carl. What's that motherfucking Carl? Beep, beep, beep. But anyway, guys, for the show Tuesday, where is we going to have a show Tuesday night?
Yes, New Year's. Oh, is it New Year's Day again?
I don't know. But anyway.
New Year's Day or New Year's Eve?
Tuesdays will be my defensive end prospect announcement. Today, today I'm calling. Tony, I don't know if you got my message from last week on the third call. What I was basically saying was, you know, fans coming up for last week's All the Run apologist that was on the show. Oh, Bron, this. Last week, I voiced my opinion. You know what? I don't give a damn if we won today or not. And all the players that did good, that shows you that Ron is out of touch with his own player. He don't even know how good his own players is. If he did, he would get out of his ways and let them boys play. You see how a lot of them were balling their butts off today. Ron should go. I don't give a damn.
I'm not upset with that position.
Who's out there better? Well, I tell you what, Ron apologist, when the same shit happened next year, Ron does the same lame-ass interviews for missed opportunities after losses, when he throw the players under the bus, when he don't play the right players. And
all
it shows,
fair criticisms. All fair criticisms.
Then I don't want to hear none of you people complaining about Ron. You know what? Because this is what you wanted. You wanted Ron back. You wanted another lame duck season. You get what you pay for. That old saying, you get what you pay for. So that's my opinion. And we'll see. But I'm out.
All right,
unless
man.
Something else come up, then I might call back. But
look, is that I think that the cool news is I don't like when people on Twitter are always like, "I told you so, I told you so, I said this." Like, I'm the best GM ever. But what we have done on the C3 podcast this season is identify these same conversations that we're still having here. And I don't have an opinion. I don't claim to know what is the right thing. Is that I do know this is that those criticisms of Ron Rivera and the people that really are desperately calling for change, they're fair. They're fair criticisms. It's a fair position to have. And I think that we continue the debates we have about whether the offensive line is the health of Cam Newton, the The player evaluation component of Ron Rivera, to me, that still goes back. That, to me, has been the biggest thing that I've had a problem with Ron so far, more than the clock management, because I think there's some times where I think I know what you're supposed to do, but I don't claim to be an expert enough. I wish that he was more expert than he is, obviously. But to me, the end of the day, the biggest problem with this team has been not knowing when to pull the plug on a guy and put a new guy in. And I thought it was going to get better with North Turner, and I don't know if it got slightly better. But to me, again, like we even saw that in today's game, and that's why I started off the show, Cody, saying, what have we learned? That this is all the same stuff going on. To me, I thought this was a very important time to evaluate some talent on the defensive line, specifically Marquise Haynes and F.A. Obada, to see. We know who Wes Horton is. We know who Brian Cox Jr. is. You've seen plenty of them. Why is it that those guys are – you need to play Galdon. You need to play Corn Elder. You need to play all of these different linebackers. And I think, again, it showed when we put in Cadet over Cameron Artis Payne. Like, come on. We're not – I mean, like, where is – why aren't we putting more aggressively if Ron is confident in learning more about how to fix from this season to next?
Yeah. So, and I have some breaking news that I just got on Twitter that I feel the need to officially drop right now. Per Rappaport, and this is Michael Silver putting this out, Ron Rivera has been told he will return in 2019, according to a source familiar with the Panthers' plan. So there's no more stipulation. It is what it is. Ron Rivera is going to be our head coach in 2019.
Yeah. So now it's all about what happens after the draft with the GM. That's going to tell us if Tepper, how itchy Tepper is. If we just continue on and we give both of these guys one season, then we're going to get all in. We're going to be in this conversation all over again next year, unless we have just crazy success.
And listen, Ron Rivera needs to do better. If our players have to be better at their position, then Ron Rivera needs to be better at his. It's time to end all the stupid clock management crap. It's time to give your younger players the time and the room to grow and flourish with the football team. And it's time to really throw the gasoline on the fire. It's time. It's been time. We were all hoping that this was going to be his last year, but it's not. So I'm not going to, I'm not going to be a pessimist about it and be all ho-hum. You know, Tony, I've been asking for a while, if you're a Panther fan, and Ron Rivera comes back, are you even excited about the next season? Well, I love the Carolina Panthers, and I'm always going to be excited about him. And he's the head coach right now. So, I mean, it is what it is. We're going to go forward with Ron Rivera as the head coach. But all the things that you and me and Joey have been saying since literally day one of the season, they have to get better. An old dog has to learn new tricks. And if it doesn't, and if it doesn't get better, there is absolutely zero reason why, if we have another disappointing season next year, there is no reason why Ron Rivera should be the head coach. But he has one more year to prove different.
That's the truth. It looks like we've seen possibly the end of Thomas Davis with the Carolina Panthers. He's been talking with the afterwards that he can't see himself playing with another team, but that he truly believe, but he understands there's got to be some tough decisions made going into the offseason, first year as a free agent in 14 seasons. And, Matt Khalil, I think this is a great quote from Ryan Khalil said, the game was fine before me and will be fine after me. You know, it's nice to have a 12-year guy that was very important to our team for a very long time. It's going to be a big hole to fill. One we were unable to fill with Jordan Gross, to be honest. And I hope that there is not going to be that long-term sustainable problem or a systemic continuous problem. And that is of trying to fill that the big shoes of that man right there. He's been very important. And one of the things that he's been most important about to me is him and Olson together. I felt like I've been Cam guys from the beginning. They have always lived and died for their quarterback, and I love that.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. They know what Cam Newton means to the team because they play with him. They know who he is and what he means and what he does. So, that's another thing. We don't know about the center position next year. Tyler Larson, we're all kind of wondering, well, maybe he might be the guy. But then, it might be time to spend another premium pick at that position as well. This is what I'm talking about. When you go a few drafts in a row, granted, we went and got a Taylor Moten, but when you don't consistently draft good offensive linemen, now it appears that this year there is going to be three major holes on our offensive line. At the left tackle position, we have a bunch of who cares with Matt Khalil and Chris Clark and Newhouse, none of which are the long-term answer. Van Roten started very strong, but fizzled out toward the end and missed a ton of assignments. And now our stalwart Pro Bowl center, who was in the final year of his entire career, is now gone. That's three positions that you're hoping and praying we're finding some way to fix next year. Oh, and by the way, we need a pass rush, and we need more safeties, and we need maybe another
big-body
receiver. Yeah, there's a ton of holes, man. You have to draft well. If you don't, you're going to have years where you just have too many needs to even be able to fix before a season starts.
Jason from overthecap.com, Jason_OTC on Twitter, put out, he does great work. That's one of my favorite websites, Over the Cap. And he's been on this show before. I appreciate that. And we'll get him. And we always try to bring him in on the offseason during the free agency time and right after. Draft order after the 1 p.m. games, the Carolina Panthers fall to 16 now. And ahead of them are the Broncos at 10, Bengals at 11, Packers at 12, Dolphins 13, Falcons 14, Redskins 15, Panthers 16, Browns 17. It was a costly win for the Carolina Panthers today. And this is one other thing I think is interesting. Jordan Rodriguez reports this on Twitter about an hour ago. Chris Clark usually sings gospel songs quietly to himself after games, and he's got a great voice. He is singing "A Change Is Gonna Come" by Sam Cooke tonight. By Sam Cooke, Sam Cooke is a person tonight.
That's a good song.
Like what? Yeah, but at the same time, who cares? Duh. I thought we were gonna sign Chris Clark to a 5-year deal. Right. Dude was sitting on his couch. They even put that other guy, Newhouse, in, who's sorrier than Chris Clark is after him, to see what they got. Is of course change is gonna be coming. Change is either gonna be coming. You're either gonna change out of that uniform and get back on your couch, or you're gonna change out of that uniform and be a backup somewhere. What in the world? To me, that's
listen. that's why none of us are, or at least myself, I can say I haven't been that hard on Chris in comparison to like a Matt Khalil, just because of that. The Texans, he wasn't on the Texans roster for a reason. Okay, it's not like the Texans don't need offensive line. Deshaun Watson's always running for his life. So Clark did a good job, in the place of a bum that was overpaid and frankly just came here, I feel, because Ryan Khalil was our center and, they wanted to play together or whatever the hell happened. I don't know. Dave Gettleman paid him more money than he was worth. So that's why I'm far more tough on Matt Khalil than Clark. But yeah, we have no idea who our left tackle is going to be next year. And I'm interested in your opinion on this, Tony, but I feel out of everyone, whether it be Shaq Thompson, Devin Funchess, the most interesting free agent storyline going into next season is Darrell Williams and how much money he wants and how much money the Panthers are willing to pay him.
I think he's going to be disappointed. That's what I think. I think he's going to be disappointed in that. I don't think he's going to, you know, he was kind of setting himself up for a payday. And, yeah. You know, he had a good season. And if he could have gone on to this year to contribute, and if they would have put Moten at left tackle and worked out well, and then you're like, oh, God, Moten and Williams, which is the future. All we got to do is get a center. We can make these guys work. Then I would expect him to get paid. I don't think he's going to get any money, or not no money, but I do think this is that I think he will be disappointed what the Panthers offer him because he has been hurt the whole time. And yeah. I do believe that he could be a good player, but I don't think you can sign him to a we can count on it deal either. I just think realistically, he's going to be disappointed what he could get with Carolina. I bet you he could get a little bit more with somebody else, and that's what you'll probably end up seeing, unless Carolina throws some cash at him just because they truly believe that his rehab's going well and everything may be. But it's not like he is a stalwart either. He is good, but not necessarily great, or we don't have enough to even know how good he is truly.
Yeah, and that was the whole point. And I've been – you know, Brandon Herbert and I have gone back and forth on this. He wants to resign Darrell Williams and then put Moten at left tackle, which in theory I'm not really opposed to. But
it could work.
Yeah, the thing with Darrell Williams is that you have one season of high-level play. That's all you have. You have one season of high-level play. And I also think that he did benefit a lot from having Trey Turner being next
playing
to him.
Playing at the best. Yep.
Yeah, exactly. And then on top of that, you have another season where he missed the very next season, he didn't play a game except for a few snaps against Dallas. And, I mean, bless his heart, man. He tried to come back. He got hurt in the preseason. And then was able to come back and do his best. But, I mean, it's a situation like that where you just don't know, you know, from a front office perspective, what kind of money they're going to offer him. There isn't a whole lot of data to work with.
I think one of the problems that the Panthers have had in the past, and I think if you give Darrell Williams too much money, and I don't know what that number too much money is that the problems in the past is that they've believed that the offensive line was going to work, and then there wasn't really a backup plan behind it if it didn't. So, it like you said, I'm not – theoretically, Moten and Williams could be great together for we all know, but theoretically, they could also not. And so what happens then if you get an injury? What if Darrell Williams goes down again? What if Moten goes – you know, there's just so many moves. I think this is like you brought up earlier. It's almost to the point where you need to draft a defensive end, a D-tackle, an offensive guard, and an offensive tackle, one of those positions in the top four rounds every single year. So then you get two other picks you get to play with. You could get a wide receiver maybe in the first round, and then you get a guard in the fourth round. But you've got to keep putting horses in the stable back there, because if any of these guys went down, this goes back to Byron Bell. This goes down to Michael Orr. If any of these guys go down, they weren't that good in the first place. But hell, when they get injured, we're like among in the trash heap already. We were already close to the garbage disposal, right?
Yeah.
Now you're in the trash heap. And so we don't have enough horses in the stable. And I know we lost a couple of guys, but let's not act like Amini Silatulu. You want to talk about a guy that does, you guys want to talk trash about Taylor Heinicke not belonging on a football field. Let's go back to old Amini Silatulu. And then you got the other guy who was the Sherrills, or we got somebody from Minnesota who got hurt in the first week too, but we just didn't have enough guys back there. And I think, like you said, that's a drafting thing because we have not put a premium on those. Moten's the first offensive. It was Moten and Trey Turner. That's it.
Yeah. And Moten, I mean, and Trey Turner was a third round pick that frankly slipped further than he should have. And Andrew Norwell was an undrafted free agent. So,
yeah,
you know, and listen, again, back to good old Dave Gettleman, always said big men allow you to compete. And, I mean, it kind of rings true. Now, he might not have landed on all those picks, you know, but it does remain true. And I do agree with you. I kind of want the exterior positions this draft to be – or this free agency to be bolstered – you know, in free agency with the safeties, maybe even another receiver, depending on who's on the market. And then draft, you just need to draft offensive line and defensive line like it's going out of style, man, and make sure that you pick the right players.
Yeah, and you have to draft so many. See, here's the thing going back, Cody, is that we have drafted some of these positions, but it hasn't been consistent and high enough because when it doesn't work out, it really proves to be a problem, i.e. Coney Ealy, i.e. Deshaun Hall, is that you – those were your solutions. Yeah, is those are your solution. You got to keep putting horses in the stable because we got to go take those guys and put them out to pasture already. Right, you're sending you done sent half of those people to the glue factory, right?
Yeah.
So is I would not be opposed. Is it's going to take radical surgery? This Panthers' team is not that far off, though. If through free agency and the draft, you just like get like four offensive linemen and four defensive linemen. All of a sudden, this team could be competitive if through free agency and the draft, you did both. That's what you got to do. I would not be opposed to the first four picks all being linemen. I don't care what side. And then the two biggest free agency signings being also linemen.
Yeah, I mean, that's where you win football, man. It's so cliche to say football is
one. That's Dave Gettleman.
Yeah, listen, it's so cliche, but I'll be damned if it isn't true. I'll be damned.
You sure lost there, too, isn't it?
What have we been talking about all season? We have no pass rush, and Cam Newton doesn't have a consistent pocket except for a couple plays in a few different games. I mean, it's a problem. Those two problems, no matter what you want to say about this season, as we do our own little mini 2018 retrospective right here, those have been the two biggest problems this season: protecting our quarterback and beating the crap out of the opposing team's quarterback. It's been a problem, and if you don't fix it, the Panthers are going to be right back here between 6-10 and 8-8 next year. It's not acceptable anymore.
Or even if you flip it, even if you flip the script, Cody, and you go 10-6 somehow and you win those close games, not enough horses in the stable to get where it takes.
No.
You know, it's that you're just not going to be a lot of faith that it's going to take you to the promised land. It could have been better. Sure, we could have lost. We could have won some of those close games. We could have had a different record. But at the same time, we would have still kind of been the same team, just with a slightly different outcome.
Yeah, it didn't matter if we won a few more or lost a few more. In the end, this was a team, and I think you and I said this maybe after Seattle or maybe even a little bit earlier, that this is not a team that we trust to have to go into Chicago or New Orleans or go into one of these other places and win a football game in the playoffs when it really mattered the most. And that should tell you that there needs to be some real changes. And, you know, if David Tepper is fine with Rivera and Herney, fine. But he better hold the torch to their ass and turn the heat up. So,
All right. So you're listening to the C3 Panthers podcast. I do. Look, I think it goes back, Cody, you said it, is I think we were really onto it with the Detroit game. Seattle just verified it for us. But we really learned this when in the Pittsburgh game, because we had an opportunity to be something we thought we could be, and we fell short of it. Now, we said that it could be a blip and this and that, but we weren't the Rams. We weren't the Saints. We learned that. And so it's going to take some strong bolstering in the offseason. And right now it looks like it's going to be personnel additions and subtractions that are the story instead of the calls for coaching and GMs at this point. I think that's going to be about to do it for the show. Cody, you got any last points that you need to talk about?
For our final postgame of the season, I just want to thank everyone in the chat room, Tim Tizzy, Underground West, Carl Van, Rex Smith, Marvelous 109, all of the stalwarts that are always supporting us, always in the chat room, adding to the conversation, calling in the cat calls, just making the show better with their presence, you know. We love you guys. We wouldn't have a show without you guys. And I want to personally say thank you and wish you all a very, very happy new year. And stick with this, man, because the season is over for the Carolina Panthers. But the C3 podcast rolls on, man. And we're going to do stuff in the offseason. We're going to preview free agency. We're going to preview draft picks. We're going to talk about all the goings on in football. And we hope that you all join us while we wrap it up every Tuesday night at 9, man.
You know, we're just a couple of Tuesday nights away from finishing our sixth full season as a podcast. That is 52 episodes a year that we do at the very minimum. We integrated the post-game show this year, but we do some shorts and some things and some interviews in the off-season as well. And look, we're not the biggest podcast in the world. That's for dang sure. But I tell you one thing is our listening group and the people that participate on this show, and I'm not even talking about the guys who make the show. I'm talking about the real people who make the show in the chat room, who fuel us to come back on Tuesday nights every Tuesday and be excited about this team and continue to talk. You guys are the real gem of Panther Nation and the C3 Panthers podcast. And like Cody said, you couldn't said it better, man. We appreciate you guys so much. And look, we're doing this because we love to talk about the Carolina Panthers and NFL football. And I think it shows in the fact that we won't shut the hell up about it. And we just keep talking and talking and talking. But look, we want you to stick with us throughout the offseason. That's what we want you to do. We're going to bring on more guests. This is the time we get to bring on guests. This is the time we get to be creative in the discussion instead of kind of being locked into the attitude of like, we got to talk about the last game. We got to talk about what's going on ahead, right? Is that this is the time where the whole discussion does not have to be about Cam Newton and Ron Rivera. Now we're going to be talking about personnel, free agency, the draft, what can be, and we even get to look and follow the division as a whole throughout the playoffs. So, look, we're going to be here. I think I'm going to talk the guys into doing Tuesday night, New Year's Day, if I can. We'll see. We'll talk off air about that because I usually party on New Year's Eve. So New Year's Day isn't necessarily problematic for me. But we'll talk about it. At the very worst, we're going to be bringing in a show if it's Tuesday or Wednesday. I'm hoping for Tuesday. We'll see. But my name's Tony Dunn. You can follow me at @cat_chronicles. His name's Cody Lashney. Tell him where they can follow you.
At Cody Lack, CodyLac on Twitter. I respond to everybody, man. I'm also writing for DraftTech.com. There will be another, I believe it'll be either this Tuesday or Wednesday, there's going to be a brand new mock draft. So be on the lookout for that. You can recommend me to come and look at players on my Twitter, players that you think maybe I need to look at and maybe preview on the show, here on the show. And that's it, guys. Thanks for listening to me and Tony rap about the Panthers.
Make sure that you subscribe to the show. Hit the share button, the like button, the thumbs up button. Follow us on all the social media outlets. And check us out, iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn. However you think you can help the show grow, and that is telling a friend, writing a review, or simple thumbs up that doesn't cost you anything. Or even donating to the show or buying some merchandise off the website. Small things are going to keep us going. I'm excited about the seventh season. I'm excited about what's going forward because, look, there's no reason not to be, right? This is the time of new beginnings. It's come to an end. It's all Look, just think, this is what Tampa Bay feels like every year. It's like, there's always this year coming up. And that's where we're at. We're going to be excited about it, guys. And we're going to win, man. We're going to win the draft. We're going to win free agency. We're going to win that Super Bowl. Put it in the bank in 2019. It wasn't our year this year, but you guys are the best. And we'll see you on the next C3 podcast. That's it. Keep pounding.
Keep pounding.
Subscribe to the C3 Carolina Panthers podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube, or anywhere you can catch an RSS feed. Check out CarolinaCatChronicles.com for the latest Panthers news and opinions from a fan perspective.
Great cash, homie.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.